O.J. Simpson has only been dead for a couple of hours, so the Amnesty International hasn't had the time yet to tell us what a wonderful guy he was. But Amnesty International had the time to comment on Walid Dakka. This was a tweet from them. You can tell me what do you think, what kind of guy he was from the tweet, or at least what it implies. So the tweet from the Amnesty International is: "The death in custody of Walid Dakka, a 62-year-old Palestinian writer who was the longest-serving Palestinian prisoner in Israeli jails after 38 years of imprisonment, is a cruel reminder of Israel's disregard for Palestinians' right to life." So from this tweet, it seems to imply, this maybe activist, this writer for Palestinian rights has been unjustly, he's been in a prison. I mean, they say he's writer, so I'm guessing he was in prison for his writing for 38 years. Well, it's
They
not
call him a
exactly.
political, they call him a political prisoner too. A political prisoner, as if it was his political opinions or speech that put him in prison, instead of a brutal killing and his affiliation with a terrorist organization.
So let me just quickly, so
Sorry.
what actually happened, why he was in prison, is because he was leading a group that was behind a killing of 19-year-old Moshe Tamam, who was not only killed, he was captured, he was kept hostage for a couple of days, he was also mutilated and eventually killed, and he.
Brutally bashed in the head, brutally mutilated, shot. It was clear that he suffered many hours of torment and torture before they finally did kill this 19-year-old Israeli they had kidnapped, this terrorist organization. And while our friend here, Mr. Dakka, was not involved in the actual killing itself, within 2 years, Israel had put together evidence indicating that he was the mastermind of that. And there is no question that he is affiliated with the terrorist organization that pulled that off in a kind of leadership role. And looking at all of this material since his death, I think it was on the 7th, no one is claiming him to be innocent. As you read the tweet there, they're making it seem as though he's a political prisoner there for his writings only. And but no one claimed, they said, okay, he's got bone marrow cancer and they probably should have released him. He's been there the longest. Okay. But it shows Amnesty International, listen to the way they put it. It shows Israel's disregard for life. No, disregarding this man and his organization's crimes shows total disrespect for human life. This was a vicious, violent murder that happened, and these guys are a real terrorist organization that pulled off atrocities of that kind. And this man, no one doubts his affiliation with this group. I've not seen that in any of the responses. No one declares he was innocent. What they say is that Israel has held him there. Ah, okay. Well, what shows disregard for human life more? Releasing a murderer, a person who's involved in a terrorist organization, or the way Amnesty International presents that, as if Israel shows cruel disregard for human life? No, they're protecting human life. Absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, he is part of this group. So he's part of the, or at least he was convicted of commanding a PFLP affiliated group. PFLP stands for the Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine, which is a designated terrorist organization, I believe, by EU, US, and UK. PFLP is, of course, a part of the Palestinian Authority. The moderate
Moderate killer.
part of the
Moderate
Palestinian
killer.
spectrum. It's
Yeah,
a
they subsidize killers, and they only sometimes do violence as opposed to Hamas, which, the distinctions are slight here between the killers and those who want complete destruction of Israel. It's not as though they don't want the complete destruction of Israel, and they aren't out there killing innocent people, taking innocent lives. They're just, the moderate version of murder.
So we have one more quote from the Amnesty International, and to this one we also have a response from the Israeli Foreign Ministry, which I think is very well put. So this is from the senior researcher Erika Guevara Rosas at Amnesty International, and she wrote upon Dakka's death that Even on his deathbed, Israeli authorities continued to display chilling levels of cruelty against Waleed Dakar and his family, not only denying him adequate medical treatment and suitable food, but also preventing him from saying a final goodbye to his wife, Sana Salameh, and their four-year-old daughter, Milad. And in this response, in response to an Amnesty International report on Dhaka, Israeli Foreign Ministry wrote in social media post, "Amnesty, you have a disturbing obsession with glorifying sadistic murderers."
Right. Amnesty International is glorifying a sadistic murderer. And that was the official finding of the Israeli government. No one's arguing for his innocence. And wait a minute here. He was diagnosed years ago with bone marrow cancer. If he survived these years, that means he was getting medical attention. But the point is that if someone gets bone marrow cancer and they're an imprisoned terrorist, do they have a right to see their wife and kids? No, prisoners, murder prisoners, lose their rights for those very things. And, you know, one of the other things that they're demanding is the immediate release of his body to his family. What? So they can have a big funeral and demonstration on behalf of the Palestinians, so they can build a monument to him, so they can make a martyr to him, so they can develop propaganda? No, this is warfare. And I have to agree with the Israeli official here. Since it is warfare, death penalty might have been the appropriate penalty here, depending on your views of the death penalty. But obviously, in a war context, it's different. You can be shot and killed on the war front immediately without any question. Death penalty does apply differently in war precisely because we're going around killing people. The other thing is that during wartime, what you might consider a basic rule, you know, when a person gets out of prison for ordinary, like O.J. Simpson, they'll give his body to his family, no doubt about it. But guess what? They're not going to build a monument to O.J. Simpson's crimes. They're not going to build a monument to O.J. Simpson, declaring him to be a hero because he did the killings. And that's exactly what would happen here. And Israel doesn't have to permit that. Any more than, in my view, you know, Dr. Peikoff and I got a lot of grief back shortly after 9/11. The proposal was to build a mosque, you know, with a big crescent above it, right near the Twin Towers that had been brought down on 9/11. And Dr. Peikoff and I opposed that. We don't have to permit enemy propaganda, which a mosque near the 9/11 site would have been in the immediate wake of 9/11. Similarly here, Israel does not have to permit this guy to be turned into a martyr for them to have some huge celebration for, et cetera, et cetera. They have no obligation to turn over his body. Hey, how about we wait until they turn over the hostages' bodies? How about we wait until the hostages get released before we turn over this terrorist's body? During wartime, Israel does not have any such obligation to even turn over this man's body. In fact, as Razi has reminded us several times, Israel will negotiate the release of living terrorists for one dead hostage, for the body of one Israeli soldier. They have been known to release living hostages, or living terrorists, in return for the dead hostage. Now, would Israel be within their rights?
Just let me quickly comment on the hostages part, because I've seen some disturbing news coming out. So there's been negotiations for hostages, and apparently there was like an agreed amount of 40 Israeli hostages being released for probably hundreds of terrorists, and apparently Hamas is not able to provide 40 living hostages.
40 of them apparently cannot be found. Now they're telling us that they've lost track and they can't locate. As they've been negotiating about the release of these hostages, now they tell us that there's 40 that they can't find or are unaccounted for, probably tortured to death already. I have no way of knowing. But the point is that they've been negotiating in bad faith. And of course, they've been turning down, not that I'm in favor of a ceasefire, but they've been turning down ceasefire offer after ceasefire after offer after ceasefire offer. And been holding these hostages, claiming that they've had all these hostages. Presumably there are some that are still alive, but the hostages are still there. And these people want the release of a Palestinian terrorist? The body? Just the body? I don't think so. That is moral inversion and corruption. But watch, watch, watch as Israel bends over backwards to try and appease world opinion on this. I'm gladdened by the statement from the Israeli, who said that disturbed at Amnesty International's praise for a terrorist, a sadistic murderer is the way I think he put it. And yeah, that's exactly it. Amnesty International is defending systematic murder on everyone. In fact, everyone critical of Israel in this context is defending October 7th. They're defending the atrocities, no less. They are happy to defend the side that pulled off the atrocities, the sadistic murders, the torture, the mutilation, the raping of children to death. I know I remind everyone of these details over and over, but Amnesty International can't bring itself to talk about that and its consequence and its rational consequences to self-defense, putting that to a stop. No. The entire criticism here from these leftist organizations around the world shows that they are pro-Hamas, that they do defend sadistic killers. I don't see any other way to look at it. And
Yeah.
Israel is no obligation to return his body under these circumstances to his family. What? So they can have some big pro-Palestinian demonstration as they bury him? So they build some monument, eternal monument to this sadistic killer? No, do not turn this man into a martyr. He is a terrorist. He was the leader of a terrorist organization affiliated with well-known organized killers. No way.
Yeah, so when it comes to Amnesty International, 4 weeks, and at this point it's even months, the Israeli hostages have been completely forgotten about by anyone in the West. Pretty much no one is anymore talking about the, 130 hostages that are still kept. More than half that were originally kidnapped are still kept somewhere in Gaza, and it looks like even Hamas doesn't know where they are. And I think, according to Israeli intelligence, I believe at least like 30 are presumed to be dead already, and it might be even more.
Don't want to know how they died because we have multiple sources now telling us that sexual torture was still going on with the hostages after they were taken into Gaza. So the what's going on with those hostages, forgetting those hostages is just unbelievable. Unbelievable when you consider what happened on October 7th and how they are likely treated, and many of them treated to death that way. And Amnesty International, how about talking about them when to even mouth the you better turn over the body to this family? How about we relate that context? No. If you do that and you don't relate the context, then your prize for humanitarian treatment of the body will fall on very deaf ears with me, I can assure you. As I say, you know what they're going to turn this guy into. A martyr for their cause. And he is nothing of the sort. He died not because of Israeli mistreatment. He died of bone marrow cancer years after its diagnosis. No, he was under, Israel was under no obligation to let him see his wife or kids before his daughter. You know, and what, how he got a daughter is it was through artificial insemination when they smuggled out his sperm from prison so that he could have this daughter that. He's never really been the father for anyway because he's been in prison. So, you know, it's so cruel that we don't let him see his wife and daughter. Oh, the wife he got married to when he was in prison as well. No. Israel is under no obligation to allow a terrorist to have that kind of treatment. That's not cruel treatment. Certainly not during a wartime. And just giving his body over to the family would never have been justified in my mind. In wartime, it would be a mistake on Israel's part to allow them to celebrate the death of this guy and turn him into a martyr. That would be wrong, Amnesty International. That would be the cruel indifference to human life, the cruel indifference to human life that Palestinians show to Israelis and have for decades.
So we can talk a little bit later about generally what should be done about terrorists like this. But something that disturbs me even more is this guy wasn't some sort of like Gazan someone living in Gaza, someone living in West Bank who came in and tried to, or not just tried, and actually did kill an Israeli soldier. He was an Israeli-born citizen that decided that Israeli society is not for him, and instead he decided to dedicate his life towards killing Israelis. Luckily, he was caught before his death toll got too high. But yeah, to see this guy as any sort of like fighter for freedom, fighter from justice. No, he got popular because he wasn't a writer before killing this Israeli soldier. He got popular in prison. He got popular because he's seen as a martyr. And the fact that Amnesty International, yeah, put someone like that on a pedestal as someone who should be listened to, someone who should be revered, it's very disturbing. And if I was anyone in the West who saw Amnesty International as some sort of reputable organization, if I saw something like this happen, what are they thinking about? Like, the fact is that, yeah, the hatred for Jews and the hatred for Israel is so deep that people can get away with something like that. People can get away with defending actual terrorists, like convicted terrorists who have been in prison for decades, just because he is anti-Israeli, just because he's anti-Jewish.
Precisely right. I would remind Amnesty International that people convicted of murder or conspiracy to commit murder are not political prisoners. When the crime involves the brutal, sadistic, torture killing of a 19-year-old Israeli in Israel, as you point out, he is an Israeli Arab. This didn't happen in what they call the West Bank or Gaza. No, it did not. It happened in Israel. And this guy was an Israeli under Israel jurisdiction, and he was brutally killing an Israeli in Israel. And so it's analogous, really, on a smaller scale, to October 7th. These guys don't want Jews in Israel to live in Israel. It's not a question of, oh, peaceful coexistence and a two-state solution. No. This was murder of Israeli in Israel. Furthermore, you're absolutely right. This guy didn't even get his college degrees until he was in prison. He got an undergraduate and graduate degree, I'm told, while he was in prison, and did all of his writings that have made him such an important figure after he was put in prison. He denies that he was involved in any way in the killing of this person. Israel had evidence to the contrary. I know it was a military tribunal, but guess what? In that context, it is the military context of killing. He's a terrorist. He's affiliated with one of these Palestinian terrorist organizations. He's in a leadership role. This isn't a normal case, but he is an Israeli under Israeli jurisdiction, Amnesty International, and someone who commits crimes like this or belongs to organizations like this, as you point out, the organization that he's affiliated with, that's affiliated with, is a recognized repeat offender in terrorism that the United States and Great Britain have long recognized as a terrorist organization. They're going to turn this guy into a martyr? The perversity of it is just obscene. And it is that same sort of moral inversion, that sort of attempt at moral equivalence that we hear from the left again and again and again on this subject. No. If they want this guy's body back, there's all kinds of things. How about we have the Palestinian Authority demand that the hostages get released, and then we'll think about returning this guy's body? How about something like that? No, we shouldn't go take it back. Shouldn't negotiate with these monsters at all. But it seems to me, absent that context, absent someone saying, hey, wait a minute, don't you all have still have hostages there? What about the bodies of the dead hostages that you can't, even the 40 that you can't even get back? Are we going to get those bodies back? No, you don't negotiate. You don't negotiate even over this guy's body. But surely the idea would have occurred to someone that the bodies of the of 40 hostages who were probably tortured to death can't even be located by Hamas right now. In that context, it would be obscene to release this guy's body to his family. Full stop.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that Yeah, he is a convicted terrorist and he was able to get a full education in prison. I mean, come on, imagine if
Very
let's
talented.
say even before the Second World War, I know there were some groups and like Nazi sympathizers in the US. Imagine if some of them have committed a terrorist attack on, let's say, some Jewish group or some politicians or an army soldier. And they would be revered. They would be seen as like heroes after the war or during the war.
During the war, they would have been executed with the death penalty and their bodies reduced to ash, would not return to the Nazis to be made heroes of, which is, of course, perfectly appropriate under these circumstances.
So let me cover a couple of super chats. So we have a super chat from Stoic Living. He says, "Greetings from Ireland." Greetings. It's good that there are at least some better people there. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Bonnie. And thank you, Wes. Also, I see a comment from Bonnie, who's a member, saying, "As an Israeli citizen, how does Palestinian even come into it? Amnesty International is completely dishonest and immoral." So yeah, whenever you see Arab Israelis, meaning Arabs who have Israeli citizenship, whenever they are referred to as Palestinian, it's always political. It's always meant to it's always meant to be a political statement. It's never anything else. So when they refer to him as a Palestinian Israeli, that's what it means. It means that he is pro-Palestinian.
Right. It's the use of language and the control of language that is always critical, especially to our friends on the left who are a little more intellectually sophisticated sometimes. And so they'll use language like the term Palestinian. No, this guy was an Arab Muslim Israeli. The folks in Gaza are Arab Muslims who live in Gaza. The folks on the West Bank are Arab Muslims who live in Samaria or most of what was called Judea at one time. Okay, they are not a distinct ethnic group. It's a collectivist argument to say these are all special Palestinians who deserve, they've been driven out of their home and they deserve a special. No. This is, as it was, we pointed out the other day in a podcast, it is a collectivist argument to begin with. So it's bad conceptually to even argue this way, but it's even worse. It's a recently fabricated collectivist argument that has no basis in fact. Even the shoddy basis in fact that most other collectivist arguments give, there really is none here. It's a complete anti-concept Palestinian. It doesn't even have much meaning in reality, other than if you're going to make a political point. The term, that's why I'm always cautious about using even the term Palestinian. It's a cooked up concept. It really is. And it's designed to mislead. Just as Ayn Rand and George Orwell in Anthem in 1984 showed how dictators control language to control things, this is what the left does. The Israel haters love to do this, control the language like genocide, apartheid, Palestinian. It is a conceptual corruption. And this, I think, is we as objectivists have a unique insight into. It usually boils down to a form of conceptual corruption that underlies all this, so that we can't really see, we can't really identify with our words the truth. And he who controls the language identifies, controls how people think about it. And you have to identify these things correctly, or you're not going to think correctly. It's that simple.
Yeah, so as we come to a couple of last minutes, some last comments, I would say, yeah, increasingly every single of these, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, all of these supposedly organizations that are for human rights, they're increasingly, on one hand, completely silent about the actual human rights abuses whenever you barely hear. I mean, when there were women protests in Iran, you barely heard about it from anyone, many others. But
Where
when
is
it comes,
Amnesty International on North Korea? Where is Amnesty International on the Uyghurs in China? Where is Amnesty International about women and gays in Iran today. No, they save their special language and their big press releases for Israel. No, they're upside down. They're corrupt. They defend dictatorship. They're not primarily an advocacy group for human rights and fighting for the human rights against dictatorships in this world. No, they're happy to go after the United States and Israel these days with at least the relish they do anyone else in this world, which shows their corruption and perversion.
Yeah, and even when they hit the right locations, such as Gaza, meaning the hostages that are kept in Gaza, they miss who is actually being oppressed there. The people who they see as oppressed are the people who participated in the October 7 attacks, are the people who kidnapped the hostages, who participated in kidnappings, who did it completely separated from the Hamas affiliated groups.
You nailed it, Daniel. You nailed it. They are actually defending terrorists, people affiliated with terrorist organizations, people who defend terrorism. And in this specific case, a man who was probably the mastermind behind this brutal killing and was officially affiliated with an organization that did many brutal killings.
So as we have just a couple of minutes left, I'm putting in the chat. We have the reality show coming up. We'll be talking about Tucker Carlson's new conspiracy theory. There's been a recent interview that came out with Tucker Carlson and this reverend from, I believe he's from Galilee, or no, the other one,
Bethlehem?
Bethlehem, that one.
Yes. Christian clergymen in Bethlehem. There, you know, and there are Christian clergy people in Bethlehem, the legendary site of the birth of Jesus. And this guy's an anti-Semite. This guy's a full-on anti-Semite who says that Jesus wasn't even Jewish. Jesus was a Palestinian, is what this guy says. And Tucker Carlson, of course, wants to have, you know, a long, extended interview with this guy, a positive, friendly interview with an anti-Semite like that at this time. So, you know, Tucker's been relatively quiet up till now about Israel directly. I've been very suspicious of him because of things he said. And I mean, he's buddy buddies with Candace Owen. So I think that this shouldn't come as too much of a surprise. But on the other hand, this is a despicable, you guys go for it, because this is a despicable thing that Tucker Carlson did. Add to the despicable things Tucker Carlson has said and done. Now he's giving a platform to rank anti-Semites in Israel.
You'll be able to see the power of language in especially this interview. So make sure to join us. We're starting just in a couple of minutes. And thank you, James, for joining me today. Thank you, everyone, and bye bye.
Be well.